It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good afternoon. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. Now, with this show, we are kicking off our coverage of Blueprint 2019, a forum dedicated to supply chain best practices, especially better demand planning and forecasting. All hosted by our good friends over at Blue Ridge. You can check them out at blueridgeglobal.com. We are broadcasting live today from the Omni at the Battery, site of Blueprint 2019, and next door to SunTrust Park, home of my beloved Atlanta Braves, which is not our guest's favorite team here. Like all of our series on Supply Chain Now Radio, you can find our replays on a variety of channels as iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and, of course, our great partners over at Business Radio X. As always, we'd love to have you subscribe so you don't miss anything. So let's welcome our featured guest for this segment, Gary Kymack, Senior Vice President with Martinetti Companies, the leading distributor of wines and spirits in New England. Good afternoon, Gary.
Good afternoon, Scott. Great to be with you here.
Glad you're here as well. We've been looking at kicking off this series of interviews this afternoon, and Todd Craig tells me we can't kick off with a better leadoff hitter than you, sir. So tell us about yourself. Well, on that note, tell us about yourself and your background, Gary.
Well, I've been in the alcoholic beverage wholesale industry for 36 years. And so a long career, never thought it would last this long, but it has. And basically, I've been a Swiss Army knife in the wholesale business, and that's why I've lasted as long as I've done. I've been fortunate enough to be able to hopscotch around the industry from sales to warehouse operations to supply chain, back to sales, back to warehouse, back to supply chain, and it's been a nice ride, and basically I've done everything that you can do in the wholesale alcoholic beverage industry.
Well, I guess that probably makes you a very well-rounded secret weapon, you know, knowing, you know, kind of all aspects of the business, so to speak.
A secret weapon or a cat with nine lives, I don't know which you prefer. But, you know, it's been a good career. I live in the Northeast, a very active market in our industry, very strong market, and also always worked for the market leader and the innovator in the market, and this is no exception, and we've always been trying to stay out in the forefront and be the leader that be acting as a leader as we're supposed to do. So it's nice, and work for great people, and that's also nice to be able to say.
So before we talk a little bit more about Martinetti Companies, Sharon, Massachusetts, is that where you're from?
Yeah, that's my hometown.
Sharon, Sharon.
Right.
And what is Sharon, Massachusetts known for?
I don't know that it's known for much. It's a great community to raise a family. Geographically, it's halfway between Boston and Providence, so two great cities that I can access easily. For those of your listeners who are not familiar with the area, they probably have seen Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on television, and it's the next town over from where the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots play their home games.
Yeah, dagger in the heart here. What an incredible franchise and story, the New England Patriots. I saw a great there's a great ESPN 30 by 30 on the two Bills, Bill Parcells and the head coach of the Patriots,
Bill Belichick.
Yes, yeah. And it kind of talks about their relationship and all the twists and turns. And what a great modern day sports story. So enjoy your success. It's often fleeting in professional sports.
Well, we are spoiled, I will admit.
Wow.
And it's been a spoil of riches. You mentioned the Atlanta Braves. Obviously, I'm a Boston Red Sox fan, but no harm against the Braves. The Braves used to call Boston home.
That's right.
A few generations ago. In fact, my dad grew up as a Boston Braves fan, so the Atlanta Braves are not on our hate list by any stretch.
That's good, because you know the Braves are the only Major League Baseball team to win a World Series in three different markets: Boston, Milwaukee, and of course Atlanta, with our We cling to our 1995 World Series despite some other opportunities that were missed. But nevertheless, great sports towns and great sports teams up in the New England area. So let's talk a little bit more about your company, Martinetti Companies. The G is silent. What exactly do y'all do?
So Martinetti is the leading wholesaler, as you said, of wines and spirits in New England. Our home base is Massachusetts, where most of our business is done. We also have a business in New Hampshire, and we're in a joint venture with a company called Redound Distributing in the state of Rhode Island. But in Massachusetts, our home base, with a market share leader in both wine and spirits, we command over a 40 share in both categories. Mm. And we represent many of the leading suppliers in the industry, whether it's Diageo, Pernod Ricard, Gallo Winery. I got to be careful here because I'm going to exclude
somebody.
Some.
Yeah.
But those are top three that most people are familiar with, and we represent their portfolio as well as many, many others as well.
Well, you're a very timely guest. We took the show on the road to Blairsville, Georgia last Wednesday, I think it was, and went to Granddaddy Mim's Distillery where they make moonshine. And a small little family-owned story, and that was a great insight into the industry y'all serve. And as a special feature, one of the owners is a country music recording artist, and he and one of my co-hosts, Will Hereway, sat down and sang one of his most recent songs from his album. And it just really, you know, it was the creative side of supply chain, no less, but a really great experience. I don't know if you've ever been up to the North Georgia mountains, but it's really pretty up there. All right, so... Gary, what brings you to Blueprint 2019?
So this is my second time here. We became a customer in the spring of 2017, and we went live in the fall of 2017, September, I believe it was. So we've had one full year, basically a year and a half in now, and with the veterans.
Sure.
We've come here. Last year I came here, and I was kind of the new kid on the block. And having some early success, but now here we're here to share our success with other like businesses, and also learn from others. There's companies that have been at it longer than us, and there's some companies that are new to the game that are doing some great things that I'm already networking myself around to find out what they're doing and things that I can bring back to my company to make us even stronger with the product that we've implemented. Like I said, a year and a half ago.
Mm. Well, so a year and a half ago, what prompted y'all to implement?
Well, we moved to a new facility in 2016, and state-of-the-art for warehousing and best-in-class every step of the way, 700,000 square foot facility down in Taunton, Massachusetts, in southeastern Mass. And at that time, when we moved, I reasoned that we had state-of-the-art for warehousing, but we were operating with an 11-year-old software program, and it was fine, and it didn't get us in trouble. But we felt we could be better, and so I went to ownership and said, "Okay, we've done everything best in class here. How about a time, that we look at some better purchasing software?" And we embarked on a RFP process, and we interviewed three or four different companies, and selected Blue Ridge.
Mm. And a year and a half later, things have worked out well.
Yeah, it's almost, I liken it to a weight loss program. So, the first 10 pounds came off. We lost about 8 to 10% of our average inventory in the first year. And now here we are in the second year, and we've lost another 5%. It's always tougher the next level that you go down, just like a weight loss program. Mm. And but we're continuing to find success, and there's still room. Mm. We're not done yet, so we're still calling out things that we can be sharper on in terms of our inventory, reducing the days of supply, and not running out of stock, which is a dynamic that we try to keep going, and we've been at it, and it's been successful.
Fantastic. So as you mentioned, you're here to kind of share and learn and network a bit, taking best practices back to Massachusetts with you. Are there any specific items, specific topics that are kind of top of your priority list for learning more about?
Sure, there's several things. Just this morning we had a seminar, and forecasting accuracy came up, and interested in a wholesaler from the Midwest, how they measure their people on forecast accuracy. We do it one way, they're doing it a different way, so I'm going to later today at dinner probably network with that individual and find out a little bit more about their system and how it's working. It seems to be successful, so there's one right there. Seasonality is also a hot topic. We have many seasonal items, and managing those are a challenge, as you would suspect. And we could be better at that, because if you miss on something that's seasonal and you end up a little longer in the tooth with inventory because the spike was not as severe as maybe you had forecasted, or conversely, you were underwater because you didn't forecast up to the spike, or the spike ended up being more than what we forecasted, more accurately said, then we could have a problem going the other way. So tough issue, but it's something that it's worth spending our time on to get better at.
Forecasting accuracy and seasonality. I'm sure there's plenty of organizations that would be interested in getting a lot better at managing both those aspects of their business. So shifting gears a little bit, what other, when you think of supply chain trends or challenges or topics, what two or three current supply chain trends have been on your radar more than others lately?
Well, when I talk about us reducing our inventory, there's still other opportunities, whether it's just-in-time inventory. I think we've done better in that by bringing in things not early, when we need it, just before we need it, so it's not risking it out of stock, but we have it there, but not sitting on it longer than we need to sit on it. You think about it, Scott. We have to pay a vendor in 30 days after we acquire it, but we don't sell it sometimes for 90 to 120 days. That's not something that my owners want me to sign up for. So we can be better there. So we're paying for it when we need it, when we use it and have it there. Then, that's something that is all important to how we run our department.
No free loans.
No. We try to be, tighter there. So there's that. And then there's the whole concept of velocity codes, which we installed last year on our items, A, B, C, D classification of our items. So the items that are obviously A in terms of velocity code, we minimize with almost everything we do to never run out of stock of those items. But again, not to make sure we don't carry too much inventory. So there's a delicate balance there. And then really measuring the importance of out of stocks, being out of stock of a D item, not that we want that, but it's certainly a lot less painful than being out of stock of an A item. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure we're fishing where the fish are, so to speak. And we constantly are testing us and tweaking the ABCD classification to make sure the right items are there. And there's some massaging that needs to get done. Sometimes, what appears to be a C item volumetrically may have a profile or some other political reason that it needs to be elevated to an A. And we need to step away from the straight analysis sometimes and massage the ranking so that we, again, assure ourselves that we're not running out of stock of something that's of critical importance. Mm.
So it sounds like you constantly reevaluate that to make sure the classifications make sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Any other trends on your radar y'all been tracking here lately?
Yeah, and the next level challenge for us, I talk about right off the top, I talked about how our inventory levels have reduced, and that's good, and our days of supply have gone down from 4 or 5 years ago, we were about 68 days, and we're in the mid-50s now. So that's a great story and something I'd sign up for again in a heartbeat. But what we found is we need to do a better job, and this gets back to my just-in-time comment, we need to do a better job with the 90 to 180-day inventory. So while our overall numbers are good, we find that that's an area of opportunity and that it just kind of stays there. And that gets to the point of, did we bring it in too early? Did we miss the spike? And if the spike happened at the end of OND, and then we go into the slow period in January, February, and March, when we go from basically 100 to zero on the speedometer, we're living with that mistake for a long, long time. It ends up trending into a 90 to 120, 150-day inventory situation. So doing better there, because we're financing that inventory at that point, and doing better there is really a hot-button issue for our company and something we're focused on.
Opportunity. Certainly a lot of opportunity. And what I hear, Gary, is despite the gains, the success that y'all have had, and the market share that you enjoy, the levels of service that you're delivering, you are doing anything but sitting on those laurels and continue to look where you can find more, even more performance gains.
Yeah, and there's more to go after that. There's a better linking with sales. Sales and operations planning is a hot button topic in the industry right now, and we could do a better job there. Linking the financial plan with how we need to execute from a supply chain perspective is a great opportunity, and we haven't really got there yet. And that's working closely with sales, closer than we do now. Although we work closely with them, we can always do better in the communication piece and the advanced planning, and that's something I'm focused on as well.
In your opinion, and based on your expertise and experience, do you find that more and more these days that supply chain operations are more plugged into the financial leadership of companies?
Yeah, well, I think the short answer is yes, but it's something you have to stay with it. It just doesn't happen yet automatically. And so, we have meetings. We're on a regular schedule. We meet with our portfolio managers, who are the ones who are interfacing with our key suppliers, mm-hmm. Monthly, quarterly, and things that you would think that should get communicated, you would assume get communicated, wouldn't have gotten communicated unless we had these meetings, and that makes us all better to, again, plan for the spike or just get information if something's not working in the market, so we know to adjust the forecast the other way. And, for example, if some major chain gives up a portfolio or changes the wine list, getting that information out of these meetings where, you may think we would get it automatically in an email. Sometimes you don't, but you have the meeting and it prompts the conversation to say, oh, by the way, so-and-so is not carrying the certain Cabernet anymore. They may have moved to another Cabernet in our portfolio. Hopefully they did, but on an item-by-item basis, it's good to get that takeaway so we can adjust the forecasts.
You mentioned the communication, breaking through the silos, getting all aspects of the organization talking and sharing information. Arguably, that's never been as important as it is in 2019.
Absolutely. And again, everybody's running a mile a minute, especially sales. And I come from sales, so I get it. But, slowing them down sometimes and getting just a quality conversation, even if it's for a half hour in a room, to just go through the key items in our portfolio is invaluable, because we look at a screen, we got forecast trends, we got history, we can see what we see, but what we can't see is those who are closer to the market and know some of the things that are happening, with their competition, with the internal workings of a particular account. We don't get that information, so it's good to be able to adjust forecasts based on getting the real anecdotal information from the trade.
Absolutely. Shifting gears a little bit more here, any other trade shows on your radar in 2019?
Well, I mentioned sales and operations planning, and I just recently, it wasn't a trade show, it was more of a seminar. I actually was right here in Atlanta. I went to an S&OP seminar that was put on by Apex.
Yeah.
And so that was good because, again, that's a new area for us to get better at and identified that within our company, again, linking sales and operations. From a purchasing perspective, to get better forecasts. So that was a good one-dayer here in Atlanta, and got me down here to be in your fine city other time.
Absolutely. And kind of connecting the dots here, Gary. So Apex Atlanta is one of our sponsors here at Supply Chain Now Radio. And our local chapter worked with the new corporate, which ASCM. Mm-hmm. We're all learning how to go from Apex to ASCM.
Right. Thank you for that.
Oh, no. I'm bad about it, but you may have met Tom Sokol, one of our local Apex Atlanta board members.
I think I did.
That he's with Collective Insights and one of our other chapter sponsors. But we heard a lot of great things. I think there was about 25, 30 attendees. And, much like you're alluding to, there seems to be a lot more demand in S&OP know-how and best practices and how do we do it out in the marketplace. So, when you put it here in Atlanta, an easy airport to get it, easy airport to get in and out of. We're a little bit partial, maybe, but great to have people like you come down and take part and for that matter, plug into the APIC/ASCM community. So any other looking forward, any other shows or workshops that you are looking at attending?
No, people do come and find us. So people will talk to me from my office. One of the other projects I'm working on in the company is our cousin in terms of purchasing is we're also in my department responsible for the pricing of our product to our customers.
Man.
And so that's an area of opportunity as well. So no lack of things to do, but we have a dynamic pricing architecture, and I'll leave it at that, in the state of Massachusetts, and we're constantly looking to improve on that, and it's a project I'm taking on. So I do have some companies talking to me, whether it's a modeling system, pricing software in general, just in a whole wide range of areas to get better in terms of how we price our product.
Mm. Well, it's a lot better and a lot more fun to be working on improvement opportunities when things are good and stable and positive, rather than when everything's on fire and, you know, too many fires are put out. So it's
absolutely
really interesting to hear what you are doing to continue delivering more and better for your customers and shareholders. So, Gary, how can listeners get in touch with you and learn more about Martinetti Companies?
So I work at Martinetti Companies, and I'll spell all these names out because my last name is tricky to spell as well as the Martinetti's. So my email address is gkeimach@martinetti.com. That's G-K-E-I-M-A-C-H at Martinetti, which is MARTINETTI.com. And you can reach me there. And just a word about the Martinettis. They're a great family company, third generation ownership that goes back to 1908, and great people to work for, and has built the most dynamic wholesale alcoholic beverage distribution in New England, and if not the country.
Mm. 111 years strong, third generation. That is fantastic. What a great story. And clearly, with 40% of the market share, doing big things.
Yeah, well, big things, and great supplier partners as well, and we were fortunate to maintain those relationships and continue to do so. We have six different selling divisions and over 300 salespeople out there every day selling our product in the state of Massachusetts, so vibrant and dynamic business, and happy to be on the team.
Well, happy for you to be here and sharing some of a really neat company story that's, you know, looking to continue to optimize their supply chain organizational performance, but also what the supply chain organization is doing there at Martinetti Company. So big thanks to our featured guest today on this first session. We're recovering Blueprint 2019 here in Atlanta. Gary Keimach, Senior Vice President with Martinetti Companies, again, the leading distributor of wines and spirits in New England. Thanks for joining us, Gary.
All right. Thanks, Scott. I enjoyed it.
You bet. And so be sure to check out our other upcoming events, replays of our interview, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and all the leading sites where podcasts can be found. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. If you can't find what you're looking for, shoot us a note to scott@supplychainnowradio.com. We'll get you more information. Stay tuned as we'll be continuing our coverage of Blueprint 2019 very shortly. Thanks, everybody. Our next guest on this segment here, we're welcoming Håkan Ekerheim, CEO of Ekerheim. Håkan, thanks for joining us and carving some time out on official day one of Blueprint 2019.
My pleasure.
Glad you're here. I've heard a lot of good things about your earlier interview, and we're glad to have you on Supply Chain Now Radio. So let's start by giving our audience a sense of who you are. So tell us a little about yourself and your background, Håkan.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, well, I'm from Norway, and I run a wholesale grocery company supplying all kinds of grocery to convenience stores in the area around Oslo. We basically carry everything except newspapers and vegetables. So drinks, snacks, fresh food, meat, snacks, Coca-Cola, beer. Everything.
Fantastic. And what kind of footprint? So you're found throughout the Oslo area, is that right?
Yeah.
Your company is a third generation family owned company, right?
True.
Founded, I think, in 1924, is that right, Håkan?
Yeah. That was founded by my grandfather in 1924.
Wow. Okay. Let's talk about. We were talking in the warm-up show. You've been a customer with Blue Ridge Global who's hosting here Blueprint 2019. You've been a customer with Blue Ridge since 2009.
Yep.
And you were talking about a critical transition from that time till now. So some of the things you were talking about, you know, transitioning from paper, yelling in the halls, poor service levels. Let's talk about that transition. So back in 2009, what paint the picture for us. What did it look like at Ekerheim?
Well, I have to go back to 2001, actually. That's when I started the company. And as you said, this is a family company where I'm the third generation, which is the generation supposedly to ruin the company. but I was determined to save the company. So when I started in 2009, we ran with negative profit and a lot of struggle. So I had to pick my fights. And eventually then in 2009, I saw that we needed something. We needed a better structure. We needed better forecast system. We needed actually a system because we used paper. We had an IBM printer sending out tons of paper every day, which and all calculations were done with pen and paper and just ordinary calculations or calculator. So the transition from getting into using Blue Ridge, which brought us to, I would say, 2020 style, that was going from 1960. So it was a pretty tough transition.
So when we say 1960, you're talking about the technology platform you had in place in 2009 as you were about to make the transition, right?
Yeah. At the time, we had four computers within the company. We didn't use computers. We had IBM terminals hooked up with the iSeries. So we didn't use emails. I had email. A couple of others had email. But no, we were producing. We were using, which was a good thing, though. But it stopped us developing.
So the system was working for you, but you had so much room for improvement and opportunity, right?
Yeah. We were falling behind.
So let's talk about that decision to upgrade and take on the new partnership with Blue Ridge. How did that decision-making process, how did that play out?
Well, the process had actually been gone. It's been running for a couple of years. But I think actually it was in between 2008 and 2009, I started more active search for to get a system. I knew of a couple, knew about E3. I didn't know about Blue Ridge at the time. I used Google and Yahoo and discovered that, okay, there are a few other suppliers as well. Basically at the time there, I was getting in touch with inventory investment, and that led me to Blue Ridge. So that was early 2009, January, I think, and the decision of signing on with Blue Ridge, that was done 27th of April 2009, and we went live in June.
Okay.
Yeah, the same year.
And did y'all find some pretty quick wins early on in the relationship?
Well, yes, I did, but not all of them were employee friendly, because what really happened was my purchase team, they were four, and you had to add my father and me, myself, and we were using a lot of time doing the ordinary purchase, but as I mentioned, they were not used to using a computer, so they didn't actually make the transition. So after a couple of hours in the first training session with Blue Ridge, I announced that I had to find different work jobs for those guys, and they were relieved, meaning that I had to do everything. So from first training session, the whole implementation and the whole setup using, that was done by me. So, but, you know, the purchasers, they were happy. We made a better day for them, so they didn't have to lay anyone off, but they just didn't make the transition.
Sure.
But I had a pretty hard load on my shoulders. So, the payoff, it came. But after, well, after 2 months of using the system, the cash flow went through the roof.
Fantastic. Two months.
Yeah, 2 months.
Wow, okay.
But that was, you know, 3 months of from signing on to getting live. And there was 2 months of very, very hard work with validating data, working with the historic exceptions and proving. But then in August, it went, well.
Gangbusters, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and a lot of that, while it, obviously you were intricately involved in that project, you had lots of aftercare or with the Blue Ridge team, right? They provide a lot of the training and a lot of the...
I wouldn't say that because it's the training. Well, I had the ordinary training, and using the system is pretty logical, yeah. But you need to learn. So I had, well, during those 2 months after going live and when I lost the whole team, I had two or three sessions with the Blue Ridge team, helping me to do the minor adjustments, and then it was just me getting back to the keyboard and do the change.
You know, I'm not laughing at. I can only imagine projects like that. Yeah. You know, it's when it's data driven, you've got to make sure you've got it's drawing on good data, right?
Yeah, that's the essence of everything. Yeah. So we had good data going in. But I was not using the system perfectly the first month. I should have spent probably some more time with training in advance. So the really good effect didn't show up until, 2 months. But one thing which was perfect, because, at the time, 2009, I had small kids. I had three daughters. And I've promised them to be, they needed a holiday. And I've been working, for the years ahead, I was working more or less 24/7, didn't have any vacation at all. So that year I promised them. So what actually happened was that having Blue Ridge, the solution, I had a laptop. And that maybe made it possible for me to go on vacation. So every, I had two weeks, and during those 2 weeks, again, I did all the purchase, and with a very poor 3G network in Norway,
right.
I had to climb up on different, small cliffs and so on. So I was up, usually at 6 in the morning and working through about noon, and then after spent the time with my family. That would not have been possible with the old system.
Wow. So kind of transition a little bit here to now. What are some of your current, at Ekerheim, what are some of your current continuous improvement initiatives? What do they look like?
What do you mean the current?
Yeah, what do you, now? So clearly when y'all transitioned to Blue Ridge 10 years ago, that improved the organization quite a bit, especially from a data management, a decision-making technology standpoint, right?
It changed the whole company.
Right.
Everything was, it was, before having Blue Ridge, it was, I would say, pretty tough environment. We were struggling. We managed. Yeah, well, the customer, they got good service, but we didn't make money. So the Blue Ridge system, it brought structure to our day-to-day life. And made it possible for us to look at the other things as well. So that was the start of a great improvement. So since that, we have done a number of things which has been improved.
So in a warm-up conversation, I think we were talking about lean implementation.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
That's the 2019 issue. Yeah, so we're going back to Deming's way of thinking in back to the 50s, but just trying to, well, we're working a lot more on culture, building people up, educating people. So it's I would say that the company we are now, it's when we try to hire people, I'm very impressed of actually how well educated people who want to work with us. I'm pretty proud about that.
With lean and the relentless pursuit of the elimination of waste, right?
Yep, true.
And how many years in are you into your lean journey?
No, we just started.
Started. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
So, yeah, that was, we started this, we had a kind of kickoff in March.
Okay. Well, Håkan, we're going to have you back on after, we get a year or two into that journey. Would love to learn more about, especially how that pairs well with the technology core of the business, which seems to have a major impact 10 years later, despite the initial hurdle, any big project, it probably...
I think we needed the hurdle, actually. It's brought us ahead.
Fantastic. Wow. So changing gears here a bit, what brings you to Blueprint 2019?
Well, being here, I'm doing a speech tomorrow, which I'm looking forward to. And it's also celebrating our 10 years anniversary with Blue Ridge.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. But again, it's really nice for me to get abroad and to have some different perspectives. And especially for me, coming from Norway, Europe, getting over to the States, people are so open-minded, so positive, sharing ideas. We do that in Norway as well, but it's different, and it's a lot bigger. We are running a very small company, but we're facing the exact same issues. So it's been very interesting.
It's interesting, as different as companies and sectors and industries are, the common challenges are very similar. You know, people, process, technology, just maybe different flavors of each.
And basically it's, technology, that's one thing, and people is, you have to combine good people with good technology.
Well, it seems like that over the last 10 years that you've been able to do that more and more. So what does the next 10 years look like at Ekerheim?
Well, interesting question.
Paint us a picture if you can.
We have a lot more focus on targets. I think we'll be bigger, but in Norway again, the market is what it is. But I think we will be a significant participator in the Norwegian market in 10 years. And hopefully that we will be, still customers of Blue Ridge as well. Because it's been more or less, now it's like a family relationship, pushing each other to better results. And but hopefully in 10 years,
lots of smart growth ahead, right? Smart being the operative word.
Yep.
All growth is not equal, right?
Oh, true.
All right. So you were telling me earlier, Håkan, that you're going to leave here and head to Dallas, I think, and then Boston.
Yeah.
I think that might be more customer related than trade show related. But any other trade shows or forums or workshops you've got on your horizon, whether they're here in the States or if they're back in Norway or Europe?
We have similar blueprint in Norway as well for the Nordic countries. So I'll be there. That's in June. Looking forward to that.
What city is that in?
That's in Oslo.
Okay.
Yeah. But I would say that for me, this is brings energy. Really?
Definitely.
It's really nice to be here.
So, do you know what time your presentation is tomorrow?
That's 3:30
okay.
p.m.
I hope that we are still here because I look for. I bet that's going to be a fascinating story because I bet it's going to build on the just a little bit of a story you've shared with us here.
Sure.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right. So
I've left some extras for tomorrow as well.
Oh, you got it. Yeah. Some surprises up your sleeve,
sure.
Right?
Yep.
So how can folks learn more about Ekerheim? What's your website?
Well, it's ekerheim.no.
Okay, and that is ekerheim.no.
No, yes.
Okay.
November, October.
November, October.
Yep.
Fantastic. Well, it's been a pleasure. One of our co-hosts, Will Haraway, he's on our Supply Chain City series here on Supply Chain Radio. And as I mentioned to you, he gave me a sneak peek that you've got a fascinating story. And he was right. I wish we had more time today, but we want to keep the cat in the bag for what you're going to share tomorrow at 3:30, which is going to be, a neat highlight here, Blueprint 2019. So big thanks to our featured guest. I think it's probably our last featured guest of this event. Håkan Ekerheim, CEO of Ekerheim, and it's been a pleasure to get to know you, and safe travels to you from here to Dallas to Boston, and then back across the Big Pond.
Thank you, Scott.
You bet. Thank you. Great to see you. All right. So big thanks to our guest today again, Håkan Ekerheim, CEO of Ekerheim, based in Oslo, Norway. To our listeners, be sure to check out our other upcoming events, replays of our interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and all the other leading sites where podcasts can be found. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. For the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton signing off for now. Hope you all have a great week, everybody. Thank you.